Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie. We will be in Psalm 27 this morning. Psalm 27. We'll read down through verse 4 of Psalm 27 for this morning. David, under the inspiration of Spirit, recording, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up praise to Your name. Father, Your love has been declared to us in the very person of Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared Him. You've told us, You have shown us Yourself, dear God, through Your Son. And so, dear God, we praise Your name. We are here to worship You this morning. I'm thankful we could gather back together. And God, we missed being in Your house. We missed being together. And Father, I pray that by Your Spirit, You would fill me and help me ministering to Your church this morning. I'm thankful for each one here. I'm thankful for those that are with us online. God, fill my dear wife with Your Spirit. Fill Sister Michelle in the nursery, God, with Your Spirit and those ministering here. God, help us all just to yield to Your Spirit. As believers, we're commanded to be filled with Your Spirit. It's a command for us. And so I pray that we would be yielded, our hearts would be opened. God, I pray You would give us understanding, wisdom, Father. And I pray that we would learn what You have for us today, that we would apply it to our hearts and lives, and that we would, by Your grace and power, God, would draw closer to You. Lord, we need that this morning. We need You every day. We need You moment by moment. We're looking for Your return, dear God, but You have things for us to do, things for us to know, a way for us to be, and things for us to do, dear God, while we wait for the return of Your blessed Son. And so I pray You'd help us in all these things, that You might be glorified, and that Your church, Lord, would be edified. Father, help us to be careful to thank You and praise You. We do ask these things in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Dennis mentioned about growing in the Lord for the teachings of this church, and I appreciate the encouragements that he gave. I'm thankful for everyone teaching and preaching and believers ministering to each other. And, of course, we all know when spiritual growth happens, it's God working through us. Amen. We're just channels. We're just conduits. And Jesus said, without Me, you can do nothing. And so we all learn together, amen, day by day to trust more in Him. We talk about this thing of your whole heart. That's something we work on every day, isn't it? We're always wondering, have I given my whole heart? And we're always finding we can give more, aren't we? Isn't that the case? And the heart is such a, the human heart is such a fickle thing. I think about Peter, who one moment was filled with the Spirit. Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed that to thee, Simon. What did he say the next moment? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. That was from one moment to the next. God speaking through him, then the devil having his way through him. And it's a humbling thing when we realize we're all capable of that. Amen. And that's what makes us stand up here and minister to others as believers with a fearfulness, isn't it? Because Paul said, we're the circumcision that trust in Jesus Christ and have what? No, zero confidence in the flesh. That ought to describe us as believers. Lord, help me with my voice. I started singing and nothing came out this morning, so I thought, okay. Apparently, in the last year, as we get older, we new and exciting things join our lives. One of the ones that has joined me in this past year is with colds. I'm losing my voice at the end of them. So be prayerful about that. David. We might say the Old Testament Paul, I guess. Huh? But David writes here. Now, David, we might say, could have a lot to fear in life. There was a lot of trouble, a lot of toil in David's life. He was a man of war. Literally wondering sometimes day to day, looking for God in prayer to keep him alive through battles and through being hunted. So once again, we could look at many of our trials and they would pale in comparison to what David was facing. But don't forget, our God knows our hearts. And He knows that my trials are hard for me. And He knows that your trials are hard for you. And He knows that your smallest child, their trials are hard for them. Amen. And we all need His strength through our trials, whatever they might be. He remembereth our frame, what? That we are but dust. And that's from the youngest to the oldest. Amen. And I'm thankful that He remembers that. And that we can draw close to Him, looking unto Him. So David would have been one who certainly would know what conflict and such is. I'm entitled the message, confidence in the midst of conflict. Confidence in the midst of conflict. And David declared here by the Spirit, he mentions the situation. You know, he talks about the wicked, his enemies, though an host encamp against me, though war should rise against me. Then he says, in this will I be what? Confident. He is going to be confident in the midst of this conflict. And I want you to know, God has that for you and I, for all of us. We're going to have conflicts. They will be different in all of our cases. But God wants us to have confidence in Him. Amen. In the midst of our conflict. And David gives us an instruction on how to do that by the Spirit. He says, in this will I be confident. Whatever's coming next is very important. This is where we're going to find in this next verse, the place where we can find confidence in the midst of our conflict. As we read this next verse, and we're only going to look at that one verse today. This message turned into another one. It's going to be another one next week. I don't know. Before I get done with this week, it might be one after that. I'm not sure. We're going to feed on Psalm 27 for a while. Okay. We're going to let the Spirit speak to us and guide us. And, I'm thankful for the Word of God. The ministers who preach the Word, anyone who teaches the Word here, you know, as we teach, we get fed. It's what God's given us to feed on. Amen. And as we share that Word with one another, we feed on that. Amen. As it's preached from this pulpit or taught, we can all feed on that. Amen. And we need to be continually doing that. Job said, I have esteemed the words of His mouth more necessarily what? Than my daily food, than my daily meat, my daily food. More important than even physical food. This next thing, He says, this one thing have I desired of the Lord. And we'll just start there. We'll work down through passage here that David is speaking of. First of all, we'll consider that David had, number one, a focused desire. And we're going to see as we go down through here, his desire certainly was spiritual. We'll talk about what it is as we get toward the end. But we're going to learn along the way, okay? He had a focused desire. This one thing have I desired. He's got a focus in that desire. And we ought to desire, as believers, what? To fear the Lord. To have a reverential, godly respect for the Lord. Most of us have electricity in our homes. Some of us were without that a while this past week. How many of you are glad that you dwell with electricity? Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But, you know, electricity has some laws about it. And you can ask Brother Austin and you can text Brother Brian and others. And they have a whole lot more wisdom about electricity than I do. Okay. And but it has some laws about it. And you don't dare violate those laws. I wouldn't want to live without electricity. I'll tell you that right now. I'm glad I have it. But you know what? We have some laws to abide if we're going to live with it. You might have heard about some people up in Portland who were electrocuted. There was two or three of them, I guess. Power lines had come down on their car. And rather than staying in the car, a couple of them tried to get out, slipped on the ice, came in connection with the power lines, and were electrocuted. Why? Because electricity is a powerful, awesome thing. It can kill you. It can take your life away and mine. Though in many ways it gives us life, doesn't it? It allows us to live life. And you know what? There's God right there. God is the giver and the taker of life, is He not? He is that powerful. And I'm thankful that He loves us, amen? That His character, that His love is so great for us. I'm thankful that the Bible says God is love in 1 John 4:7-8, amen? And so we trust Him in that character, but He is a powerful God. And we realize that we fear Him. When Nehemiah was a captive in Babylon and such, and in the empires that followed there, Nehemiah prayed to God. When Artaxerxes was king there, in the palace there, and the Medes and Persians had taken over. He says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. This is our desire. We want to realize, God, that life is here to be lived for you and to be lived the way that you want it. And that's our desire. Remember, there was a relatively few compared to how many Jews were in Babylon and such that went back to Jerusalem under the decree of Cyrus. Remember that? And they went back and began rebuilding. Nehemiah, far later than the ones that we've looked at, would also go back to help build the walls. And he said, we desire to fear the Lord. Now, it's interesting, Nehemiah, we think about him. He had never known Jerusalem when the walls were built. They were down when he was born, okay? He was exalted to what we might say a comfortable place in the citadel or the palace until God got a hold of his heart and said, I want you to consider my city and my people where they're at. And then Nehemiah was moved to go and do the great work that he did that we read about in the book of Nehemiah and Ezra and the minor prophets as well. But a focused desire. Listen, we ought to have a desire for God. Amen. I desire to live for Him. Why? Because He loves us. Christ desired us. We ought to desire Him. Amen. In Luke 22:15, as Jesus was coming to the end of His earthly ministry and knew that He would soon be crucified, He made plans to have that Last Supper with His disciples. And He said this about that in Luke 22:15. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. You say, why did He double that? Just because to emphasize it. I have so looked forward to celebrating this Passover with you. Why? It was the last Passover actually that counted. It was the last Passover of the Old Testament that would fulfill the purpose of a Passover. It was to point forward to the death of the Son of God. And with that, that was going to be the last effectual Passover of the Old Testament as far as God was concerned. And then Jesus is going to bring on what? That new covenant's coming on the scene. He desired, he loved His disciples. And He was wanting to be encouragement to them all the way. God loves us. In Hebrews chapter 2, there's the Luke one didn't put there. And also in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved Him, Jesus Christ, to be made like unto His brethren. He became like humans. He didn't make Himself like an angel. He was made like unto His brethren that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for sins of the people. He became one of us. Brother Dennis was talking about if we wanted encouragement or counsel in our problems, what kind of people would we look for? In the Sunday school lesson this morning, I like what Brother Austin said. Somebody who's been through it. Somebody who knows. And you know, Jesus Christ has been through humanity. He didn't miss a heartbeat of it. From the womb to the tomb, He experienced the whole thing. You see, He might be able to say, had He not done that, well, God knows, but He doesn't really know. He hadn't really experienced it. We can never say that. Why? Because God manifested Himself through us, through Jesus Christ, in that body. And He experienced that. And Hebrews also tells us in Hebrews 4:15, it tells us what else there? Oh, I guess I didn't put that one up there. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, every point, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, who was in all points tempted like as we are what? Yet without sin. The devil took those 3 points as he's used throughout the Scripture, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and he fashioned them specifically and purposely for the Lord Jesus in the way that he believed would make him, would be the most, have the most impact on him and make him fall. And yet he was in all points tempted like as we are what? Yet without sin. And he did that for you and me. He did that for you and me. And so we can know Him. And by the way, He has known us. He's walked in a human body. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Aren't you glad that we know God as believers through faith in Jesus Christ? He's the one that declares us to Him. No man knoweth the Father except whoever the Son will reveal Him. We know God because Christ has revealed Him. And what a blessing it is. David had this focused desire. He wants to know God. And we're going to see this desire. There's Hebrews 4:15. I don't know why it wasn't coming up there. He knows our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we're. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling our infirmities. He knows. He knows what we're going through. What is this thing of of focusing and growing closer to Him? What is this path of what we might say abiding in Christ? We're going to look at this passage for a little bit and just kind of feed on it, if you will, for a while. Philippians 3:8, Paul writing, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." What is he talking about there? He was talking about what the religious world considered good things in his life. He had been a powerful religious leader. He had been a Pharisee. And by the way, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was zealous in those things. He said he walked according to the law, blameless. He wasn't saying he was sinless. What he was saying was when he sinned, he brought the right sacrifice. And he did those things. So according to the law, he was blameless. All those things that I thought meant something, he was trusting him in them in the wrong way. All those things that I thought meant something, he says, now I count them but waste. He's not talking about the bad things that he did. He's talking about the Pharisaical religious things that he was trusting in. I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Can we just say he's talking about knowing Christ? And knowing that he's abiding in Christ and walking with Him, that I might win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. He knew what that was all about. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. According to the righteousness in the law, blameless, he said. He says, but then I found out that meant nothing. That didn't make me not guilty before God. Because the blood of bulls and goats, what? It's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. There was never one sin taken away by any single Old Testament offering, never a one. And there's only one offering that ever will take sin away, a past, present, or future, and that was the offering of Jesus Christ upon the cross and His rising again. And not having mine own righteousness, he says, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I have learned now that God will call anyone righteous who believe in Him, who will believe in Him. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Being justified freely, that means be declared righteous, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Now the righteousness of God without the law is revealed. That's what Romans is all about. Paul says, I've learned that now. I've learned the righteousness that God accepts of me wasn't anything I was trying to attain. It was something He did for me through Jesus Christ. And now I've accepted that. And now I know that I have a right standing because of Jesus Christ. But I also want to walk with the Lord. I want to yield to that Spirit that He's put in my heart. I want to have a different experience. You see, before, he had probably had the Spirit helping him at times, but now he's a New Testament Christian. He has the Spirit abiding in him forever, just like you do and I do. And every person who ever once trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ is forever dwelt with the Holy Spirit to the end of eternity. Yeah, to the end of eternity, and that doesn't exist, okay? Forever! And Paul says, I want to live in accordance to what You've done, God. I want to reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. Because of what you've done and because of who you put in me. He says, not that which is of the law, but what's through the faith of Christ. Verse 10, that I may know Him. There it is. I want to know the Lord. I want to follow Him. I want to know that He's working through me. I want to know that He is transforming me. I want to know that I'm right with Him. That I'm not holding on to sins in my life that He wants me to get rid of. That I'm yielding to Him day by day. I want to know Him. And look what He says. He says, and the power of His resurrection. And the power of His resurrection. Now Paul wants to strive by the power of the never leaving, indwelling Holy Spirit purchased for him through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, because Jesus Christ arose again when Paul believed, on the basis of that sacrifice of Christ, God can now send the power-giving Holy Spirit into every believer. Amen. And Paul says, this is where I'm going now. The power of your resurrection. Because you rose again, you purchased this position for me. Because you rose again and I believed in it, you put your Spirit in my heart. You gave me the power to follow you. I want to walk by this, by the one who's in me now, and not by any strength of my own. Matter of fact, He's the one who said, we are the circumcision that had the trust in the Lord, and we have no confidence in the flesh. He says, I want the Spirit to change me. I want to walk in righteousness by the power of your Spirit. The power of the Spirit. He says, he wants to know that. The power of His resurrection. A few things about that. Jesus said in John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, what? The Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit. The Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. The Holy Spirit coming in the heart of the believer is living proof that Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Because He sends Him. The moment someone believes, He sends Him to live in their heart. And Paul says, I want to know the power of your resurrection. Because you've risen again. I've risen again in a sense spiritually with you. I now have your Spirit in my heart. And I have the power to you will live this Christian life through me by that power. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And brethren, if you believed in Christ, He has. And He is living in you forever. And that it was purchased because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for you. Out the resurrection, He wouldn't be up there to send Him. Amen. And Paul says, I want to know the power of His resurrection. Ephesians 5:20. Now Paul writes, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that worketh in us. God can do all He wants to do through you and I as believers. And guess what? It won't be you and I doing it. Amen. It'll be the power. It'll be the one He's put in us if we will yield to Him. 2 Corinthians 3:6 tells us about God who hath made us able. I like that word because I'm not able. Okay, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter. Here it is. But of the Spirit. You see, you can do what God has called you to do. Why? Because He's put His Spirit in you to do it. Amen. And His Spirit will use His Word. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12. Amen. He uses that. And He can do through you what He wants to do. And through me. And Paul says, I want this. I didn't have this before. We're in a different situation now with Christ risen again. I want to live according to the power of your resurrection. What you purchased for me. And by the way, this follows a kind of a logical sequence that you'll see. First of all, I want to live this Christian life by the power of your resurrection. And then what does he say? He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. There's that living this Christian life and the fellowship of his sufferings. You know what's coming next? If you start to live the Christian life and I do, what does the Bible say? Sufferings are going to come. Why? Because this world is not of God. All that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. Did you get that? But is of the world. The world doesn't love God. This world system, okay? Any individual can love God when they bow their heart to Christ. Amen. And turn to Him as Christ is drawing them. But this world system doesn't love God. And so what is going to follow if you live a life in the power of the Spirit purchased for you by the resurrection of Christ? Sufferings are going to follow in some way. Sufferings will follow. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, all that what? Will live godly in Christ Jesus, you know it, shall suffer persecution. And by the way, how much more in the times when Paul's writing? He knows it's coming. By the way, he was the one causing the sufferings upon those who were living godly before him. Amen. He knows exactly what's coming. He had been there doing it. He was on the other end, thinking he was doing God's service. He says, now I'm in their shoes. Now I'm in their shoes. He held the clothes at the feet of Stephen when he was stoned. Stephen was a man living in the power of his resurrection, amen, and serving God. And he saw Stephen suffer at his hands and the hands of others. The fellowship of his sufferings. I'm going to have to suffer if I want to follow this one and if I want to know him more. That's why we saw recently Brother Dennis was teaching about sufferings in 1 Peter 4:16. If any man what? Suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Hey, you can glorify. And the Bible says, now don't suffer. Let's not suffer because of our sin, okay? Let's not go out and get into trouble and, you know, not speak the truth in love and do all those kind of things where you bring suffering upon ourselves. Let's not do that. We do that enough without trying, amen? But what's he saying? No, speaking the truth in love, being faithful, being godly, will still bring sufferings from the world. So he says the fellowship of his sufferings. We don't turn away from those. What did Paul write to Timothy? He said, be thou partaker of the afflictions, amen? Don't run away from it, Timothy. The fellowship of his suffering is going to come if you're going to walk in the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. And I like this. He finishes it off with being made conformable unto his death. What's he saying there? How did the Lord Jesus die? Who being Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, what? And was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Okay, the sufferings came on him. But his sufferings, yours and mine may not, they may. His sufferings would culminate in his death, according to God's plan. But not just any death. The most horrid kind of death. The death of the cross. The death of the cross. That was a horrid kind of death, not only because the Romans were professional executioners. You know how to make a person suffer to the utmost and to extend that as long as possible. But what made it more suffering was that my sins were on him. and so are yours. And there was a separation from the Father in some way that we'll never understand at that time. His suffering was something that you and I will not never experience as believers. That death was a horrid death, even the death of the cross. Paul says, being made conformable unto his death. By the way, how did he die? I remember those words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He died loving those who were crucifying him. Paul says, I want that power to live for you. And I know it's going to bring the sufferings. And by the way, if it comes to death, I want power to even die the way that he did. And by the way, he'd seen one do it. Amen. Brother Dennis talked about him this morning. Remember Stephen? What did Stephen pray? He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Paul must have shook his head. Jesus, when he met Paul, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I'll guarantee you that stoning of Stephen was one of those. Amen. Where Paul must have been thinking, how could he do that? How could he do that? And now having grown in the Lord, he's saying, oh God, make me like that. That if I have to come to die in an unjust way, that I would yet love and pray for the wicked people that are killing me. God, bring me there. Whew, that's quite a prayer. That doesn't draw too many crowds from the world today, okay? Because it doesn't guarantee you're going to have good physical health. And it doesn't guarantee your bank account's going to grow. And it doesn't guarantee that, in fact, that people are going to like you more in the world. Amen. That's just good preaching. Because I'm getting it out of the book. Amen. And I'm getting it from one who loved God and who knew God like David knew God. And he's saying, I want you to bring me this, God, by your almighty power. By your almighty power. He desired Christ. In Colossians 3:1. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. We're talking about having a focused desire. Set your affection on things above. What here on earth are you going to take with you? Nothing. The only thing that we're going to see in heaven are the souls of people and the Word of God. Labors with those things in mind, we'll be rewarded in heaven. But we're not taking our house. We're not taking our dog. We're not taking the SUV. We're not taking the snowmobile. We're not taking the fishing pole. We're not taking the golf clubs. We're not taking none of that stuff. You're not taking your air conditioning, your heating. You're not taking your vacation rentals, whatever it might be. None of it's going, amen. None of it's going. And so God says, learn to live for the things that are above. We talked about Christ. I was talking with someone about living, abiding in Christ, living for Christ. The reason the world can't take it away is because the world, it's not based upon anything the world has. See, if my joy and fullness of the Spirit is based upon my bank account, the world can take that away. If it's based upon my health, guess what? The world can take that away. Amen. If it's based upon something outward of the world, it can be taken away. But God gives us that strength inside, doesn't He? To live for Him. To live for Him. I'm going to go through the other points. That's the longest point of the message. But having a hunger for the Word of God. In the Antarctic summer of 1908 and 9, Sir Ernest Shackleton and three companies attempted to travel to the South Pole from their winter quarters, so they're camped out in Antarctica. They set off with four ponies to help carry the load. Weeks later, their ponies dead. Rations all but exhausted, they turned back toward their base, their goal not accomplished. Altogether, they trekked 127 days on the return journey, as Shackleton records in his book, The Heart of the Antarctic. The time was spent talking about food, elaborate feasts, gourmet delights, sumptuous menus, as they staggered along, suffering from dysentery, not knowing whether they would survive. Every waking hour was occupied with thoughts of eating. Jesus also knew the ravages of food deprivation. And he said, blessed are those, and he, knowing that, said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Remember that miraculous fast that you did up on the mount, 40 days and 40 nights? You and I can't picture the excruciating pain of that. Going through that, he said, blessed are they what? Who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see, God's calling us to righteousness. He wants food in our lives. Paul writes, I desire food that may abound to your account in Philippians 4:17. We are to desire the sincere milk of the word that may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. Point number two this morning. We were going to see that our confidence, we have to have a focused desire. Point number two, we have to have a fixed determination. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Did you get that? He says, I'm not just going to sit back and wait for God to do it. I know what I want. There's one thing I desire. We're getting there. And by the way, I'm going after it. I want to run with God. Remember what Paul said? I want to apprehend that which for I've been apprehended. God saved Paul to make him more like Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I want to run with him to that end. Amen. David's saying the same thing here. He's saying, that will I seek after. One thing I've desired, that will I seek after. Fixed determination. God doesn't do anything apart from your will and my will. It is God that what? Worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You see, He's working on your will and my will. Why? Because He wants willing servants. He wants children who willingly serve Him because they love Him. He wants us to choose those things. So He's patient. Always thought a lot of times we know everything that God has for us is good. Amen. Everything He brings into our life, He will work for the better. And we have to learn. We can't always see that. Don't think that we'll get to the point where we'll always see and understand those things. We won't, many of them. But He does want us to get to the point where we'll trust Him. Just like you'd want your little children to trust you when you try to do something good for them that they can't understand. Amen? He wants us to learn to trust Him the same way and just say, okay, God, I don't know, but I'm looking to You for the power to do this thing and for the courage to do this thing, for the wisdom to do this thing, because I don't have it, but You want me to follow You, so I'm not sure why You want me to do this right now, but here I go. I don't think there's anything that thrills the heart of God more when we just step out trusting His character. God doesn't work apart from our will. In Psalm 112, the psalmist writes, 112:1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. And it continues, Psalm 112:7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, determined, trusting in the Lord. And that's something that we always grow in, our heart trusting more and more in Him. We talked about, are we fully yielded to Him? That's something we're looking at every day. And we ought to be fixed upon God. Did you know that you can pour concrete and in 28 days, it will be full strength. Whatever you're going to put on that concrete at any time forever is ready to put on it now. But you actually look at that composition of that concrete will continue to harden indefinitely. Now, it's minuscule compared to those first couple of weeks, but it continues. It continues to cure. It continues. By the way, that's the way you and I are to be fixed on the Lord. More and more and more and more and more solid and more trusting and more. We don't get to the place where we say, I've made it. Do we? Nor does God expect us to. We'll be becoming more and more like Christ, amen, until He returns. Paul writes, what I press toward the mark, I count not myself to have apprehended, he wrote. But what I do, this one thing I do, there's the same heart as David. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was certainly example for us there. Thirdly, confidence in the midst of conflict comes from a faithful devotion. He was focused. This is one thing. It was fixed. My heart's in it, and it's faithful. What is it? Here we have revealed what David. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to focus on. This is what I'm going to put all my heart into. And in this, I'll have confidence in the midst of all my conflict. Notice he didn't say the conflict would be taken away. This will give me confidence in the midst of my conflict. What is that? He has a desire to live for the Lord. Look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27:4. The Bible says in Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And he's really talking about fellowship with God there. That's what he's talking about. You see, he knew what it was to lose access to the house of God. The Bible chronologer Reese places this psalm at the time when David was expelled from the city by Absalom, and he had to leave the temple. Now Reese doesn't profess to be inspired. Okay, that's what he believes. There were other situations in David's life that could fit that as well. When he was being chased by Saul, he had to leave Jerusalem. There were multiple times when he was kept back from that gathering, that joyous worship in the temple where they brought those sacrifices and where they had those feasts. And by the way, those who were unclean could not bring the sacrifices, could they? Those who didn't come in the right way, they could not continue in that fellowship, could they? David says, I want to be in the place where I'm right with God and that I can dwell in the house of God forever. That I can serve Him there with whatever sacrifices, and that I can be a servant to Him there at whatever He calls me to do and be. That's what David's. That's the one thing he's desiring. That's the one that he is seeking. Is that God? I am at the disposal of Your will. That's the one thing I want. And if that's my greatest desire, and that's what I set my heart to, I will have confidence in the midst of all my conflict. That's what he's saying. And brethren, that confidence doesn't come from the world, does it? And the world can't take it away. God will give that confidence as you seek Him in that way. Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Of course, we know Romans 12:1 in many verses, and I won't go, I'll just give 12:1 for the sake of time. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable that like David, like Paul, and so many others, we say, God, the number one thing I want is to love you and to be at your disposal and to be right with you. And if I make that my desire every day, when I get up, it doesn't matter what I face, you'll give me the strength for it. I'll have confidence in it because I know that you will be with me. I know that you, David desired to live for the Lord. David desired to love the Lord. Look what he says here in verse 4. One thing I have had desired, I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? To behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to fix my gaze upon who God is. I want to have my stare upon the character of God. And by the way, we have so much more to look at now than David did. Amen. We have the Lord Jesus Christ who has manifested the Father to us. And my friend, when we gaze on Him and the Word of God, when we look for something about Jesus Christ, everywhere we read, we will be slowly conformed to His image. Amen. And as we yield to it, it doesn't have to be slow. It can be quickly. We yield to that. Desired to love the Lord. The Lord is high. Psalm 113:4. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. I think of Philippians 2. David said, Thou wilt not suffer what? Thine Holy One to see corruption. God says, Who is like you, God, that you step down to behold the things of earth and heaven? By the way, in the form of a man. Amen. What God would love like that? Well, the only God there is. Amen. The only God there is. And David, as well as Paul, were thankful for that. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And oh, the way he laid it down. And then finally, David desired to learn from the Lord. To learn from the Lord. I desired these things. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to fall in love more and more with Him. He says, and to inquire in His temple. I want to learn more and more about how to live for Him. More and more about who He is. More and more about what He does want me to do. More and more about this great thing that He has for me, this great love that He has for me, this great power that He gives. More and more about Jesus would I learn. More of His holy will discern. Amen. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. David wanted to learn from the Lord. If any one of you lack wisdom, when do we lack wisdom a lot of times? When we're in the midst of conflict. And what does God say? Just ask of God. Ask of God that giveth to all men what? Liberally, and it breaketh not, shall be given him. God says, you want to love me? You've made me your desire. You've put all your heart into seeking me. I will give you the wisdom you need through that trial. I'll give you that. I'll guide you through that. I will help you to learn of me. Romans 16:17, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to what? The doctrine which ye have learned. I'm thankful for that in this church and every church that loves this blessed book, we learn good doctrine. Amen. We learn how to live. We learn where we're going after we're done living here. Amen. And thank God for that. And I'm going backwards there. Wrong button. Let's not go backwards. We want to go forward. Those things which ye have what? Both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the God what? Of peace. That's what David was talking about. I have that confidence in the midst of my conflict. The God of peace shall be with you. And we can have that. You know, sometimes God brings us situations in our life that we've never been through. And you know why it is? At least part of it. Well, it's certainly so we can glorify His pain.
but just to show us that He can give us peace through that too. There's joy through that too. Because He's in control of it, amen? And we don't know that. Some of those things, until He brings it on us. Oh, we've believed it, but we learn to believe it, amen? That's why He took upon flesh. So we could know that He knows. And so we could know that He knows. Amen. That's why. That's why. He wants our relationship to Him to be so far above everything else that really the Bible says that everything else would be compared to hatred, compared to what has developed between us and Him in our walk. You say, well, that sounds horrible. No. Because the more we grow in love to Him, the more we're going to love those around us. You can't love your wife. You can't love your children. We can't love our neighbors. Anything like we can than when we are abiding in the Lord. Amen. And drawing closer to Him. And that's what He's always working toward in our lives. That more of Him would show through us. Now, He's going to talk about where He leads next week in the rest of the psalm. And I'm looking forward to this. He talks about dwelling in the secret place. In the secret place of the Most High. And that's where God wants all of us. Tucked under His wing. Amen. That we might know that comfort and that warmth and that protection there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the amazing miracle, this Word. It's a living Word. Father, I have been studying it, reading it, heard it preached from so many preachers many times, studied it much myself, as many here have, God. And we don't cease to be amazed at how You continue to speak to us. You continue to reveal Yourself to us. You continue to draw us in a powerful way that our hearts would desire to be closer and closer to You and to reach out a hand to someone else along the way. God, to know the same thing. And I pray that You'd help us in that. God, I thank You for this church, for the love that I've seen, Your love I've seen so many times flow through these. Father, I thank You and praise Your name. I pray just Your Word would go forth. Father, we've given the gospel so many times, Father. And God, we know salvation's a gift. Folks who receive it, receive the faith in Jesus Christ alone, believing He's a sinless Son of God. And as we talked about in Romans, it's a free gift. We're justified freely. Someone just has to want to be saved and believe these things about Jesus Christ. But in rising again, and He will send the Holy Spirit to the heart that says, I don't want to stay in my sin. I don't want to be guilty before God. God, forgive me. You love me so much. You sent Jesus to die for me and rise again. I now trust in Him and who He is and what He did and nothing and no one else. Save me and forgive me and deliver me from the death and the hell that I deserve. God, someone calling out to You in their own words in that way would be immediately saved and given that Holy Spirit, just like we talked about today. Work in their heart for that. Help us who have You, Father, to follow You, draw closer to You, be more like You. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name.